Did you know that your gut is directly connected to your brain and can contribute to anxiety, stress, and depression, which, by the way, can also impact your sexual health? So here's my secret weapon for gut health, Just Thrive Probiotic. Now listen up. Just Thrive isn't just any ordinary probiotic. It is the only one that survives your stomach acid and reaches your gut 100% alive. All those others, the ones that come in fancy drinks or you gotta refrigerate, nope, that's not even a thing. This is the one. I've noticed significant changes to my overall health. Like, this might be TMI, but I'm way more regular and my skin is glowing. Think of Just Thrive like your personal gut gardener. It maintains the health of your gut by weeding out the bad bacteria that causes all those digestive issues and then replenishes the good, making it a total game changer for your digestion, your immune system, your skin, even your mood and sexual health. And if you want to check out my episode with Just Thrive's founder, Tina Anderson, we talk all about how gut bacteria plays a crucial role in your overall happiness, including your sex life. Because a healthy, balanced gut means less stress and more energy. So if you want to check it out, I'm offering a deal for my listeners. You can save 20% off site-wide at justthrivehealth.com with the promo code SEXWITHEMILY. That's 20% off on the probiotic that's truly changing lives and making waves in the wellness community. Everyone's talking about it. Don't just take my word for it. Try it for yourself. Go to justthrivehealth.com. Use promo code SEXWITHEMILY for 20% off. Imagine a toy so iconic it practically wrote the playbook for pleasure. Allow me to introduce or reintroduce you to the Magic Wand, aka the Cadillac of Vibrators. The Magic Wand Original is a trusted companion in the journey of joy, whether it's your first time chasing an orgasm or you're looking to give your partner a spine-tingling erotic massage. The Magic Wand should be your go-to with powerful rumbles and several different rhythms and patterns. It's no wonder the Magic Wand has scooped up accolades like Vibrator of the Year for decades. I'm so enamored with mine, I've customized my bedside table just to keep it within arm's reach at all times. But the magic doesn't stop with the original Magic Wand. The Magic Wand family has grown over the years, offering a variety of models to suit every lifestyle. Go cord-free with the Magic Wand Rechargeable. Embrace compact power without compromising intensity with the Magic Wand Mini. I love this mini. Or the Micro, which is just teeny tiny and really powerful. Or enjoy a range of sensations with the Magic Wand Plus. Each model delivers the same powerful orgasmic rumble that made the original a legend. So are you ready to experience the magic? Visit sexwithemily.com/magicwand and discover why the Magic Wand continues to enchant pleasure seekers around the globe. That's sexwithemily.com/magicwand. Magic Wand, more than just a vibrator. Thanks for listening to Sex with Emily. I'm Dr. Emily, and on today's show, I'm talking with filmmakers Abby Epstein and Ricky Lake to talk about the history, the side effects, and the secrets of birth control, and how to learn to love your body at any age. All this and more. Thanks for listening.
It's not like if you take your system offline for 10, 20 years, that it's just going to go back online. Like, you just don't know.
Into his eyes. They're the eyes of a man obsessed by sex. Eyes that mock our sacred institutions. Bedroom eyes, they call them in a bygone day.
You're listening to Sex with Emily. I'm Dr. Emily, and I'm here to help you prioritize your pleasure and liberate the conversation around sex. Today, I'm talking to Abby Epstein and Ricky Lake. They're a documentary filmmaking duo. In 2008, they released The Business of Being Born, and now they have a powerful film called The Business of Birth Control, which explores the ins and outs of the birth control industry. And if you're thinking this is a show just for women, think again. Birth control impacts all genders. And when I was talking to them and watching their film, I really took a walk down my own birth control memory lane, thinking about, oh God, you know, there was no warnings. It was supposed to be this innocuous pill that you took. And there are so many hidden side effects. I mean, did you know, if you're taking the pill, the partners that you choose for yourself are different than the sexual partners you choose if you're not on the pill. And I remember always hearing about that study, and it's actually true. And that just describes my 30s right there. I just want everyone to be aware of what we're putting in our bodies, being aware of the side effects and also what your options are. We also talk about Ricky's newfound sex drive. Intentions with Emily. For each show, I also want to set an intention for the show, and I encourage you to do the same. What do you want to get out of listening to this episode? How could it help you? It could be, wow, I didn't know about the long-term effects of the pill. I want to find out more. My intention is to give you a deeper understanding of birth control, your options, just so you and your partner can make more informed choices. The good news is we have several options these days, but here's the thing, finding out about them can be difficult. So Abby and Ricky and I are here to help. All right, enjoy the show. Ricky Lake and Abby Epstein. I can't believe it was already 12 years ago you guys did The Business of Being Born. But their new film, The Business of Birth Control, which essentially investigates the business of hormonal birth control. I mean, a lot of us take the pill. I know I just took the pill and I didn't realize how many risks there were associated with. No one tells you. And not only do they not tell us when we go on the pill, but doctors don't know the way up until very recently. And we're going to have to find out, are doctors even finding out the side effects now? But there were some drawbacks. Things weren't always great for women to take the pill. And maybe you were on it for a few months and then you went off the pill. Guess what? Your hormones may still be impacted by that. A lot of you call in and ask me about your sex drive and your libido. And sometimes, you know, we talk about how the birth control pill could actually be the culprit. So what do you do? What do you do about that? Well, we still need to use protection, right? You know, we still don't want to get pregnant or catch STDs. Welcome to the show, Ricky and Abby.
Such a pleasure. I love this talk. So I'm as you've grown up with me, you know, I'm an open book. And it's been such an interesting journey for me, having been on hormonal birth control for decades. I'm now off of it. I've been off of it for a very long time. My husband, who passed away 3.5 years ago, but he had a vasectomy. And, you know, now I'm not on any sort of hormones. And it's safe to say I just turned 52 last week and I have the libido of a 16-year-old horny boy. Like, it's crazy. Really? I feel like I'm completely in my sexual prime at my age. Yes.
You are my hero. Can you tell me, wait, well, first off, Ricky, are we connecting that to you going off the birth control pill?
No, I'm sure I went off the last hormonal, I'm trying to think of the last hormonal birth control that I was on was the Mirena IUD. So I did that and I was married at the time to my husband. I didn't like it. It wasn't about the hormones, but I remember the string. He could feel the string. And so it didn't work for us. And then he had a vasectomy.
Okay, so, got it. And you're like, bye.
That was the best birth control out there, by the way.
It is.
The IUD?
No, vasectomy.
Vasectomy is the best. That's a whole nother show about what men can do. But let's start right now. Let's talk about how did you get interested in making this film, The Business of Birth Control? Was it because of the side effects you experienced, both of you?
Actually, I mean, I didn't really contribute because my main side effect that I dealt with the pill was hair loss. So I just came out in the last year. I shaved my head in dramatic fashion because I'd been dealing with really, really debilitating hair loss that was super shameful. And it was like my deep, dark secret. And I didn't really attribute it to the hormonal birth control until after the fact. You know, I didn't know that it could be a major side effect for so many women. But that was also, we were well on the way of making this film. This film came about through Holly Griggs-Spall, who wrote a book called Sweetening the Pill. And she came to Abby, sent her the galley of her book before it was being, you know, published. And, you know, it just clicked with, you know, Abby read it and she's like, I think this is our next film because obviously we have this audience that really, really trusts us with The Business of Being Born. You know, it just felt like the next obvious progression for us in the work that we do for educating women about their health options.
Yeah, we really need it right now. It's just so insane to me. And in fact, in watching a little bit of your film, which I think is so well done, I want to send it to like literally all the women I know because I feel that we were talking about this before the show. I just got handed a pill when I was 18 before I went to college. I just thought it was like this innocuous thing that wouldn't really have an impact. And then now looking back on it, in fact, even in watching your film, I remember taking it a week before I went up to school freshman year. And then I remember that's when I started feeling anxiety for the first time, extreme ADD, depressed. The best part, okay, I will say this, my breast got large. I went from like an A to a C. Anyway, but I didn't know why.
and never thought about it's a pill. There's so many hidden side effects that we don't talk about. So what have you discovered on the journey of making the business of birth control?
We learned so much, so much. One of the big like revelations I had when I read this book, Sweetening the Pill, was I had sort of a similar thing in college. I had kind of a year of like, you know, mental depression, weird crying spells that was definitely because I was put on the pill and I didn't connect it. Like, I just thought I was like, oh, I'm homesick. It's my freshman year. Yeah. And the same thing, like weight gain. I was like, oh, it's the freshman 15. Like, I didn't connect that to the pill. Like, I didn't connect any of these side effects. But then the other thing I thought that was really interesting in retrospect was this attraction issue. So I had had men that I had either dated and then gone on the pill, and then suddenly I didn't want to have sex with those men anymore. Or like long-term relationships where I was on the pill the whole relationship and then went off to take a break, and suddenly I was like, oh my God, that guy over there is so hot, and like, I don't want to sleep with the guy I'm with. And like, what we found from making the film is like, this is scientific, actually. So your pheromones, you know, which are a huge part of physical attraction, and we sort of take that for granted, right? The smell thing. Like, if you really are going to be attracted to someone, you have to be able to like live in their armpit, as one of the doctors
essentially
in the film.
Right.
Essentially, like, you have to like love their stink. Like, you have to. And the reason that you do is because your immune system is like taking in information about their entire immune system as well, because biologically the human body is always geared toward like mating, right? And like healthy offspring. So you're essentially, you know, smelling out like this mating partner. But when you go on hormonal birth control, that whole mechanism goes offline and you actually start becoming attracted to men who are like more feminine, like more nurturing, like, you know, kind of more similar than opposite. So that I thought that Ricky and I were both blown away by that.
That makes so much sense. There's my 30s right there. Yeah. Literally every guy I dated in my 30s was that. And I went off and on the pill. I love that you brought this up because that was the whole, the t-shirt test, right? When they, women,
yes,
that was related when they smelled a man's t-shirt. Yeah. Right after he slept in it or sweated in it, are we attracted to it still? And I remember hearing this as sort of lore, like, oh, the pill, and also it makes you not attracted to people that you would be otherwise. So, but it's true. I mean, it makes sense because it like mutes those processing systems, the hormones. And so it's just, it's kind of a mess.
It's fascinating. If women knew that their entire hormonal system is completely shut off when there's on, when they're on these drugs, they're not getting a real period. You know, it's withdrawal bleed. It's not, you know, and there's a reason. Like, I, you know, we're supposed to have this like cyclical rise and fall when we're creative. The idea of disconnecting from our power, you know, it's like we're supposed to go through these emotions and these array of changes during the month, you know. And it's, I've learned so much through the making of this film. And of course, like, I wish I had access to this information way back when, because who knows how different things might have turned out, you know?
Yeah. This is like a movement. I feel it. But you guys had Jolene Brighton in your film, and she was on my show about 2 years ago. And I was like, Jolene, this is a movement. Probably how you felt, Abby, when you read the book, when you read Sweetening the Pill. It's like, how do we not know? But here's my question, though, and I think your film is going to be such an important part of this movement. But so many people I know are on the pill. People, my nieces, 18 and 20, they're on the pill. And I sort of tried to suggest there were other options, but that's just what everyone's doing. All the kids are doing it. And it concerns me. And I'm not sure, there are alternatives, but it's a little bit more heavy lifting. Can we talk about some of those? Like, maybe what some of what else could we do? Because I don't want people to go, okay, I'm going to stop taking the pill today, because that's not healthy either.
And the idea, I just want to clarify that we are not trying to scare women off these pills. Like, we want everyone to have access to all of the options, but we want them to be educated, and we want, you know, more options. That's ultimately what we want. So FAM is something we talk about in the film Fertility Awareness Method, which is, you know, scientific. It's not pull and pray. It's you learn true body literacy. You learn exactly when your cycle, you know, when you are ovulating. And it's really 3 or 4 days out of the month, out of a 30-day window, you know, and it's just you take your basal temperature, and it's a learning curve. You know, it takes a commitment, but there's so many apps out there that can help. You know, there's Clue and there's Flow Living, and right. I mean, there's so many with technology. Exactly. And that's empowering to I think women. You know, I think it would be appealing, mm-hmm. the idea if they knew what they were, you know, the pros and cons. And again, I want to specify, we're not trying to scare women off of these drugs. It's about like, you were not told this, like this could be, you know, if your personality is being affected, if you're dealing with low-lying depression, if you're dealing with, you know, these are things to consider that your pill might be causing that.
Exactly. And just being informed. Like, I think that women who are just handed a pill all willy-nilly should have the information, you know, to know that they have a choice with it. And that also perhaps by selecting other options, should you so choose, or even if you stay on it, to be informed. To study your cycle, to download one of these apps that allow you to track your menstrual cycle. So you just have more knowledge, right? It's like we care so much about our exterior, but when you think about really understanding your flow, and so many women email me like, oh, I'm on the, someone just the other day, I'm on the IUD, but I don't know, is my boyfriend allowed to come inside me? It's like, well, you know, there's just so much misinformation. I mean, yeah, that's probably why you went on it.
That is the thing with the pill. That is the thing with the pill. Like, if you're on the pill, you don't really need to know about your cycle because you're not having a cycle.
Right.
So you don't, you know, really need to know. But I will say one thing that a lot of women don't understand is that you can only get pregnant 6 days a month. Now, I'm not promoting like the pull and pray rhythm method, whatever. But like, I for 5 years did a very like unscientific, you know, version of that, and had 2 babies exactly when I wanted to have 2 babies and didn't have any other babies for those more than 5 years, I guess. It was like almost like 10 years I did it. And I didn't know what FAM was. I didn't have an app, but I did have a cycle, and I understood the week that was the dangerous week. So, I mean, you could also just like use a condom and a diaphragm. I mean, you could just use barrier methods if you wanted to for like those days. You know, like I'm just saying there are options out there that I think people forget. And part of the reason that those options aren't more popular is that what we talk about in the film is that the pill is being used for a lot more than birth control.
Well, yeah, let's talk about,
for everything. Every reproductive issue, period cramps, acne, PCOS, endometriosis, fibroids, regular periods, everything.
Swings. Yeah.
And it helps like maybe suppress the symptoms, but the second you go off it, it comes back. It's not effective. We got to treat the underlying symptoms. Like what is your skin breaking out? Why even PCOS? I feel like we're hearing more and more about PCOS right now. I don't know if people are talking about it more, or there's greater instances of people having PCOS, polycystic ovary syndrome, where women have cysts and then they just take a pill, which is compounding the problem. So you must have encountered in your film so many women who were having these challenges, it seems, from the part of film that I saw, and they just don't have information, you know. So you're giving them information. The other thing, did you come across women who did talk about their sex drive being lower because of the birth control pill?
Oh, yeah. For sure. I mean, that's the other thing that's so strange about, you know, these cocktails, because they are cocktails and each brand is slightly different. So you don't know, like some women are more susceptible to having their testosterone drop and lose their sex drive. Some women don't have that side effect, and they don't even have like a good way at this point to like, you know, like for the type that you are, this pill, you might do better on this than that. Like they don't even have a real way. Like very few doctors know these kind of like insider tricks and trades, you know. But when you're young, I would say like, okay, so Ricky and I are both on the pill, right? Over 10 years, like my whole 20s. See, I didn't even know that my libido was down or my orgasms were muted, because I was having orgasms and I was having sex. Like I didn't even know how like big my sex drive could be until I wasn't on it. And I think that's part of the problem is when you're put on something at 16, 17, 18, you don't even know your libido without those drugs, you know?
Exactly. You actually have no idea because you're probably just becoming a sexual being. You're starting to have sex. You're trying to decide what kind of partners you like. But again, oh my God, and hearing them all together, it's like not only are you not picking partners who you're authentically attracted to because the birth control pill suppresses your actual immune system that allows you to choose a partner, but you also aren't having a libido to even understand who you are. I was on it from 18 to 28. And then I went off it for a few years and then I went back on it in like, I think my early 30s, and it just every time looking back on it, the partners I was picking were not suitable. I never wanted sex. I blame my partner. I didn't know what I know now. I thought it was their fault. And it's really a kind of a crisis. How many women are on the birth control pill? Did you find out? It's a lot.
so many. It's like 80%, I think, of American women will have tried it at some point. It's so many women worldwide.
Right.
And also, like, the other thing is, I don't know if I should say her name or not, but Rick, you remember we were interviewing this actress for our other film, and it was an actress who had been with George Clooney at one point. And I remember when we were telling her that we were making this film, do you remember this, Ricky? And she said that she was on it and she didn't want to have sex with George Clooney and she thought it was her. Like, and that's the thing about women is that women will always like flip the symptoms onto themselves. Do you know what I mean? They'll always think, well, there must be something wrong with me that like, I don't want to have sex with this guy, you know, as opposed to like not thinking, oh, wait, what am I taking? And that's really like, I'd say that's a huge takeaway of the movie of just connecting the dots. And then you know, take whatever you want to take. You know, sometimes people want to be on the pill for a certain period of their life or be on an IUD. And, you know, you should have those options. Of course, you should have those choices and you should be able to do it safely. But know that if you experience certain things that you can connect the dots and not just think it's you.
You're so right that this is every night. I have women call in and say, my boyfriend's not getting hard, or I can't have it, you know, or something's happening and it's my fault. We just immediately think it's something that we did. It's our fault about everything. So we also think if we're not attracted to our partner, it's us. If we don't want sex, it's us. And there's just so many other things. And in thinking about this too, I remember going to doctors and like, are you on any medication? I'd be like, oh, just the pill. You know, like, oh, just the pill. Which when you think about it, and you really do a great job of breaking it down in your film about what actually happening and how it's not healthy, what it's doing to our cycle. God,
it's an endocrine disruptor.
Pisses me off. Yes. Yeah. What about women when they go off of it? You're not done. It's not like you just go off of it, right? Because sometimes it has long-term impact on sex drive, our nutrition, our...
The hair loss pieces.
So tell me what happened, Ricky. You tied it back to the pill?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh yeah. And for me, you know, that's what I would yo-yo diet. I would crash diet. I had babies. And then 3 months after breastfeeding, my hair would shed. So that's just what I was kind of predisposed to, you know, it's just my genetics, but so many women, I belong to this group called the Women's Hair Loss Project. My friend Y, she goes by the name of Y, and she has so many women in this group. It's like a blog and it's a support group that women have gone off of Yaz or off of these, you know, these birth control pills, and they have suffered from long-term, their hair is never the same. Something to really consider, because had I known that that was a potential, you know, risk factor, I might have made a different choice over those two decades that I was on these drugs.
Well, I think your film is going to do a great job of actually bringing this to light. And I love that it's in a film so people can watch it. All right, I'm going to take a quick break. There'll be more Sex with Emily. Thanks to everyone for supporting our sponsors. You know, we only work with sponsors that we enjoy ourselves. And I hope you do too.
There's nothing quite like sinking your teeth into a good sandwich. But listen, carb guilt is real. I'm someone who's very invested in my health, and I like to get my carbs from oats and beans and fruits and not bread. But I love bread, so here's my hack. Thanks to Hero Bread, you can enjoy your favorite bready delights without the carb consequences. Hero Bread has turned those carby, empty calorie bread products into fluffy, delicious breads that boast 0 to 1 net carbs per serving, 0 grams of sugar, and are packed with loads of fiber and protein. The first time I tried their white bread, I was skeptical. Could it really taste good with such impressive nutritional stats? Well, I'm pleasantly surprised to say it absolutely does. The texture is just phenomenal. It's like this soft, airy, and it just toasts up like a dream. I've whipped up everything from grilled cheese to PB&J and even made enchiladas, wraps, and tacos with their tortillas. Each time, Hero Bread has been a game changer. And here's the kicker. Despite its light texture and great taste, Hero Bread fits perfectly into my health goals. It's been adding more fiber to my diet while keeping the sugar at bay. Whether I'm packing a picnic lunch, planning a road trip snack, which I often do, or prepping French toast for breakfast, Hero Bread is my go-to. So whether you're craving a classic sandwich, a burger, or a hearty bun, or even indulging in a low net carb croissant, Hero Bread is something for everyone. And I highly recommend checking their monthly small batch drops out so you can try goodies like the 1 gram net carb Hero Cheddar Biscuit and so much more. You won't believe what they have. So you ready to kick carb guilt to the curb? Head over to hero.co and snag 10% off your order with the code Emily. That's Emily at hero.co.
How do the issues with birth control disproportionately affect the women of color too? I know there's a lot around that.
Well, we found, you know, it was really interesting because when we were starting to make the film and I would talk about it sometimes, like, you know, or Ricky and I would, you know, have a speaking event and we'd mention it. And then women of color would come up to us after the event and say, if you're going to make this film, you have to understand this is a particular wound for our community. And so we dove into that. And first of all, there's a historical piece, right?
Right.
So you go back to slavery and slaves being experimented on. And then we cover in the film that the pill was actually trialed in Puerto Rico on poor Puerto Rican women, you know, because they knew it would never fly with the FDA to test it on American women. So they went to Puerto Rico. And, you know, there's this history of like black and brown women being right. used as guinea pigs. And that goes through the 50s in this country, like people aren't aware about the sterilizations that happened
right.
with indigenous women. I mean, we're talking about really it happened to Mexican women, it happened to right. African American women. And now, you know, recently in the headlines, there have been these big headlines about this ICE detention center in Georgia and how all these women experienced like unwanted hysterectomies and surgeries. But you have to understand, like, that's a legacy that's been happening.
Yeah.
You know, in the 80s and 90s, you had Norplant, Depo Provera.
We're just like, sign me up for this. Then you find out, yeah. oh no, we're pulling it from the shelf. Women are having yeah. these horrific, horrific side effects.
Horrific.
And I'm just so glad that you're bringing all of this to light right now. We just need to know. We just want women to be informed about your choices and what might be impacting some of the side effects. So Ricky Lake, you're saying that you had hair loss. Never thought that's what it would be from, because we can always assume it's something else, right? Mm-hmm. After childbirth or bad periods, or your mom had it as well, you know, but we don't think.
It's something, you know, when I, you know, me personally and being a public figure, I mean, I was so ashamed by it. I was so embarrassed and I didn't want to, you know, and it was exacerbated by extensions that I used and, you know, the teasing and going to work every day and having the hair pulled and curled and heated. I mean, all of that is no good for it. But the pill is a real, like, there's a through line of a lot of women that when they go off the pill in particular, they deal with really, really debilitating hair loss and in some cases doesn't recover, you know?
That's right.
So,
that's right.
Massive.
There are some people in our film who say that, you know, we'll look back in 50 years and think this was just like a massive kind of experimentation done on the female population. But the pill was actually trialed on men at the same time as women. So they actually, the very first trials of the pill were on men and women. And they just found that men would never tolerate the side effects.
They would never want headaches and cramps and all the things.
Oh, and bloating and like, exactly. So
loss of libido.
Right. And that's, you know, like there's one expert in our film that says, and I kind of love her soundbite, but she says, basically it's like what we do to women is sort of saying to men, hey, you don't really need your testosterone. Until you're going to have a baby, you don't really need this. We're just going to shut it off. And when you're ready to have a baby, we'll turn your testosterone back on. And that is what we do to women. And that's why you see that a lot of women have trouble conceiving, because it's not like if you take your system offline for 10, 20 years, that it's just going to go back online. Like, you just don't know that your hormones are just going to kick in. Like, if they were interrupted at 16, they may not kick back in at 35, because you're kind of, you know, your body's like a 16-year-old in some ways trying to find a menstrual cycle again.
Yeah.
So
we think, you know, we'll go off it and it'll just get pregnant. It doesn't work that
some
way.
Some people do. That's the thing.
It did work that way for me, just for the record. Like, my body, too. I went off of it. I family planned. I got pregnant both children the first time I tried. So I know how rare and lucky I was, you know? But
that's the thing with it, is it's unpredictable, and you know, you don't know how it's going to affect each individual. And I think we have a conflict, right? Because as feminists, we need to recognize, oh my God, the pill was such a huge part, right, of our liberation and getting women out of the house and into the workforce. And like, we absolutely have to respect that. But that was sort of like a place in time, right? We're like 60 years out of that. And why don't we have anything else? Why do we only still have the same hormonal stuff?
Well, what about for men? I'm always seeing the studies come up. Like, they're always, every few years, they're getting closer to a male birth control pill, but it never happens. Because is anything that you've heard in your research that's coming down the pike?
There's nothing down the pike, right? I mean, is there anything that you've
heard? There are a few things in the pike that are at varying stages. And I do know from talking to people that the NIH is trying to put more research into it. There is something, I might be saying it wrong, called like Vasgel or Vasilgel. I think they're headquartered in Berkeley.
Okay.
And what they are is basically an injection that they put into the tube that connects the sperm to the testes, whatever that. Mm-hmm. They block it.
That already feels like that's never going to go.
No, no man wants a needle in his penis.
In his penis?
But what about a pill that can repress, you know, some of the semen, right? Or isn't there something with that tube that they could sort of try to make sure that you can still ejaculate, but you're not going to have the semen that is allowed for? Yeah, I guess it would be decreasing testosterone, and I don't know how that's going to go.
That's the thing, right? Yeah. You can't mess with testosterone. You can't mess with the penis. You're kind of like, and then, you know, I was talking to some women who are in this field, and they said it's just like, they need to look at like new biomarkers, and like now they're experimenting with things that makes the pH of the vagina inhospitable to sperm. There's that new product. It's not a new product, but it's called Phexxi. And it was an old product that like just got FDA approval, and it's being marketed a bit, but it's like a gel that you insert in the vagina and it makes the vagina inhospitable. But then you think, okay, what's that doing to my vagina?
Exactly. I don't want to mess with my pH. No, thank you. What's it doing? But it's true though. I remember my mom saying when the pill came out, women were allowed to be, I remember her telling me this, that we could finally have sex and we could go to work. I mean, we just really started the second wave feminist movement, right? Can we go back? Okay, so was this on the show, before the show? You're talking about, Ricky, your sex drive is amazing at 52. Can we just talk about that for a minute?
Yeah, it's crazy.
How does that happen?
Well, I have a theory that's so out there. Well, first things first, there's a shaman that kind of healed my vagina. That happened a few years ago. This friend of...
Is he a vagina shaman?
Shaman Durek. You should have him on. You should have him on.
I want a vagina shaman right here, right now.
I have to give him credit. I don't know what he did, but what he did is he... went in on the phone. So he didn't touch me. He was in Turkey at the time. I was in LA and he did a session for me, and we have mutual friends, and I'd gone through this loss of my husband, my twin flame. And so, you know, I had always struggled with climaxing, not struggled, but like it took a long, my husband would joke that I was a tough nut to crack, that cracking the code was challenging because it took a long time. And I'm a, you know, sexual abuse survivor, and who knows why, but it just took me a long time to get out of my head.
Yeah, a lot of those things.
Reach orgasm. And so ever since Shaman Durek did a session on me, and this was in 2 months after my husband passed.
It was 2014.
No, it was 20. No, he died in 2017. It was 2017.
No, but I thought Shaman Durek was.
Shaman Durek didn't help me until after
Christmas. Oh, no, yes. 2017. Sorry. I remember. Yes.
And then ever since then, it's been a game changer. Like, I'm able to climax.
What did he do?
I don't know. He was speaking in tongues. He had all these angels come. And I don't know what he did, but ever since then, it's been a non-issue, which is so funny because my husband who died was a master lover. Like, no one ever compared to my husband, and he would have to work really hard. And ever since then, everyone else, well, not everyone, there's not a lot, that many people, but
it's been
a handful on one hand, and it's been a lot easier. But yeah, I feel it's this strange thing. Like I just am so tapped into self-love and pleasure. And my theory, my crazy theory, because I know it's crazy enough that a shaman went in and fixed my vagina, but also I believe my husband, who only wanted me to feel pleasure all the time. My husband suffered from mental illness and he took his life and it was tragic. And I believe I am embodying his spirit. I truly believe that his wanting me to experience pleasure, I believe he is in me now. And I have been able to come to a place of just like, I love my body. I appreciate my body. And you know, my body is not perfect. I don't look like a supermodel. I shave my head. I have my natural gray hair, but I'm more at peace with my body and loving of myself. And that has really, really affected my sexual being, you know, and, really, really been empowering, super empowering. And I think it should be inspiring to other women because I never, ever thought I'd be in that place at this time in my life, you know?
You guys should write a 50 plus sex guide, like the guide to hot sex in your 50.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's been interesting because I was in a relationship. I've been in a relationship off and on with a guy for a couple of years now, and I've never been more free. It's so crazy. And I love this guy. And he's not my husband. My husband was my twin flame. You know, he was my person. And yet I'm in this new relationship and I love this man, but I'm like so much more comfortable in my skin now than I was with even my person, you know?
Wow. Do you think it's part of too? I mean, I love what you're saying about really, you know, I guess it's making peace with your body, learning to accept it, which as a result gives you the confidence. There's so much hashtag self-love. And that's all I talk about all the time on here. We got to masturbate. We got to love our bodies. I'm like, even start with liking your body, but it is a journey. So would you say, Ricky, it's also been a path that you've, I will give the vagina shaman some credit, but also you're also a woman, I believe, who has done a lot of work on yourself. Mm-hmm. You didn't just snap your fingers. Maybe it felt like that, but part of it also being in the public eye and having probably criticism and all the journeys you've been through to now hear you at 52 say like, I got there. Is there any advice that you'd impart for women who are just listening going, yeah, but I hate my body and I could never do that. Or I don't know where the vagina shaman is.
Not a lot of people have access to Shaman Durek. No, I think going through this experience of losing my person in the way that I did, I value myself in the way he valued me. You know, like I love myself. And I think it's just been a process. And when you turn 50 and, you know, like your priorities kind of shift. Like for me, I really appreciate that I don't have pain. I don't have physical pain in my body. Nothing hurts in my body right now, you know? Like, and that is something to appreciate. So yes, I'm not a size 6 right now. The clothes, my skinny clothes don't fit me, but my body is, you know, I'm soft and I'm curvy and I feel feminine and I feel strong. And sexually, I just feel empowered. I feel, you know, like I have these gifts that I really didn't know I had, you know, I,
what are they? Tell me more about the gifts.
I want to be as discreet as possible for, you know, anyone that I just feel like I know my body and I also know how to make a man feel really good. Like
you might have to take a break and come back to that. Hang tight. I'll be right back after this quick break. Ricky just started telling me about how in her early 50s now she's learned to actually love providing oral sex on her male partners and how it's shifted and how she's the best lover he's had. She's not just in your brag. I believe her. What is that about? Tell me, Ricky, how does it?
I can't really explain it. It's just, I mean, it's just the real deal. Like I never, ever, ever thought that I'd be in a place of just loving who I mean, I love being naked. And this was something that I struggled with for, you know, throughout my entire life. I've dealt with body issues, being obese, losing all this weight. I mean, even when I was 124 pounds, I thought I was still fat, you know? So I am not 124 pounds anymore, but then in a way I'm just more comfortable in my skin and I know myself. I mean, that comes with age. I mean, I just think, you know, the older
you get, yourself.
More,
but what about the oral?
What about the oral?
Sorry, I got it. Because we only have a few minutes, but I want to know, this is important. How do you
Everyone
feel
wants to know.
How do you feel differently when you are now giving a blowjob that you did before? Like, what is it when you see the penis and you said that your boyfriend's eyes are rolling back in his head, best lover he's ever had?
I think it goes back to empowerment and having this effect on this person. And I just found pleasure in it. You know, it always felt dirty to me. Or I think, you know, we're just predisposed as women that, you know, we're I don't know. It just like I grew up kind of thinking, oh, that's nasty. That's dirty. That's too intimate. That's, I feel you, whatever it is we tell ourselves. And I think
you just let go.
Yeah.
You let go of all those messages, the limiting beliefs.
And so I think, you know, in my later years, and I think it's losing my husband, who was really a beautiful lover. And in this past relationship, you know, it's like I've been such a giver, and there's something so pleasurable for me to turn my partner on, you know, and to have that power. Like I have this power to drive this person crazy. And that was really feeding my sense of self and self-love. And it's been really a gift, you know, because it's like as we get older, you know, we think we lose that. You know, I'm supposed to be losing my libido. You know, I'm supposed to be going to perimenopause. I'm still regular. I get my period every 26 days and nothing has shifted. I've not had one hot flash, you know, and it's really been like, I appreciate my period now more than I ever have before. Just that idea that I have this vitality, you know, and, I want it to continue. And I take really
good care
of
myself. That's amazing. That is so inspiring. Is there anything you attribute that to? Is it like your health, your nutrition?
But, I think it's genetics. I mean, I got my period later in I was like 14. I got my period. So they say the later, because my sister's younger than me and she stopped getting her period years ago. And so many of my friends don't get their period. Abby's regular like me. But I don't know. I just really appreciate being tapped into my sexuality at this stage in my life. It's really been a gift. It's not something I predicted, you know?
Super inspiring. Thank you for sharing that. I have to ask you both the 5 questions we ask all of our guests, Abby Epstein and Ricky Lake. We can go back and forth.
Okay.
Quickie questions. What is your biggest turn on?
Just seeing my guy and his eyes roll back in his head is really a turn on for me.
I love it. Abby?
Mine is definitely like erotic light touch.
Biggest turnoff?
Thrusting aggressive kisser.
Yeah, too much tongue. That's what I was going to say. Too much, okay. Too much.
What makes good sex?
Chemistry. It's chemical. I mean, because that's the thing. It's pheromones and it's being present and really being comfortable in your skin. I mean, I think it's all of the above, you know? Mm-hmm.
Also, I think you need a little bit of tension, like a little bit of polarity.
Polarity. Huh. I agree. Something you would tell your younger self about sex and relationships.
That you are perfect just the way you are. You know, that you're enough. I should say enough because no one's perfect, but you're enough exactly who you are.
Mm-hmm.
I would say that you can have intimacy in sex with intimacy in a relationship. It can go together.
Number one thing you wish everyone knew about sex.
Go ahead, Abby. I'm stuck.
I would say sex can be many things and you don't have to ever pretend. You should never pretend and you should never partake in anything that you're not fully into.
I love it. Thank you so much, Ricky Lake, Abby Epstein.
Well, that's it for today's episode. I'll see you on Friday. And thanks for listening to Sex with Emily. Be sure to like, subscribe, and give us a review.
and tell all your friends, your partners, your lovers about the show. If it's helped you, I promise it'll help them too. We release shows on Tuesdays and Fridays, and look out for a bonus episode every now and then. You can also find me on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. It's All Sex with Emily. Oh, and I give really good newsletter. Sign up at sexwithemily.com. If you'd like to ask me about your sex life, your dating life, relationships, message me on Instagram or call into my SiriusXM show Monday through Friday, 5 to 7 p.m. Pacific, 8 to 10 Eastern. And you can just call me there. Save this number, 888-94-STARS or 888-947-8277 and get a free 30-day trial at sexwithemily.com/SXM. Was it good for you? Email me, feedback@sexwithemily.com.